Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that's for sure. Folks, just want to remind you, please go to our website, www.theunionedge.com. Sign up for our e-activist newsletter. If you're local, your organization needs some help, we'll get the word out for you. If you're willing to help, we'll get the word to you. It's called Solidarity. We're all in this together. We're all working real hard to improve our communities. And you know what? It's working. But that's okay. So, hey, listen, right now we're talking with Bryce Covert, who is with Think Progress. Bryce, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. We appreciate you staying on top of things for us. You know, with the economy, the president's working real hard. He's trying to up the amount of people that are collecting overtime. Hey, overtime's good, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of Americans might actually be sort of unfamiliar with what overtime is. So many of us are not actually covered by overtime requirements anymore. They haven't really gotten a significant update since the 70s. So a lot of salaried workers are left out. Even hourly workers who can be classified as a so-called executive or professional, for example, someone who leads a cleanup crew might be able to be classified that way under these current loopholes and excluded from overtime coverage. But
so,
what it's supposed to do is to require you to be paid time and a half if you go over 40 hours a week. And it's supposed to be a little bit more broad than what it is right now.
Right. Companies over the last 30, 40 years have been very proactive in changing the law subtly. Getting changes to those laws put into place through lobbying, so on and so forth. They've been, you know, quite honestly, a little bit unscrupulous at times, some, by saying, well, no, you're really a manager. We, you know, you're making you're making minimum wage, but you're a manager, so we can't pay you overtime. This kind of stuff in an effort to continue to grow productivity from employees, and pocket more profits for the owners and so on and so forth, right?
Right. It does two things. You know, one, as the Obama administration is pointing out, is that if you're required to be paid overtime, you end up making more money if you work more than 40 hours a week. And because it's time and a half, it can be pretty significant, the extra money that you should be seeing if you should be covered by that requirement. The other thing it might do, though, is that some employers might say, okay, well, I'm required to pay you all this extra money if you go beyond 40 hours a week. Maybe I'll just make sure that that's where your hours stop, so you're not going to be asked to put in a longer work week. And this actually might be a real benefit for a lot of Americans, because our work week is, in theory, 40 hours. We think of ourselves as working 9 to 5. We do not actually put in that kind of work. It's on average 47 hours, and we put in some of the longest weeks among developed countries. And we're not necessarily getting a whole lot more productivity or compensation for it. So either people should be ending up with more cash in their pockets or more time to spend with their family or doing other things than work.
You know, and I agree with you. I mean, look, the reason why overtime is there is to protect employees. And to stop the 12, 14, 18-hour day at salary. You know, could you imagine, I mean, working, oh, we're going to pay you minimum wage, but you're salaried, so you get to work 80 hours for minimum wage. Oh, but those extra hours you don't get paid for. You know, I mean, this is something that's been a long time coming. Hopefully the regulations will be strong enough not only to ensure that people get paid for their overtime, or if they take comp time, it's appropriately done and appropriately calculated. But in addition to that, this probably will result in just the opposite of what the naysayers are saying. This will probably involve companies having to hire additional people.
Right, because if a company decides to go the route of saying, okay, rather than pay you overtime, I'll make sure your hours stay within 40 each week, they still have that extra work to get covered. And the hope is that then they'll go out and hire new people to keep doing that extra work. And rather than just overtaxing the people they currently have and not paying them any extra, they'll either have to compensate them better or to hire more people, both of which should end up being pretty stimulative for the economy. You know, either people have more money in their pockets to go out and spend, or more people are getting hired, and then they've got money and they can go spend that too.
There you go. Now, are the naysayers really out there with these ridiculous claims that this is going to put companies out of work or out of business?
Yeah, the business groups that you would probably expect to be against this have already come out. The National Retail Federation immediately released a statement saying that they were going to fight it. They think it's a subjective problem, quote, with quantifiable facts that they think are running against what it actually takes to run a business. The National Restaurant Association also sort of put some cold water on it. Right now, Obama's proposed rule change goes into an official 60-day comment period, and I think that's where we really see all of this take weight. You know, these business groups have a lot of money, they have a lot of firepower behind them, and they are going to fight really hard against this. So,
and they're going to hire a lot of people to make comments too.
Exactly. If they deluge the process with comments, it could bog it down, it could water down the proposed change, it could delay it. So, you know, none of this is set in stone, and none of this is a done deal. We'll see how it all ends up.
There you go. Now, the comment period, tell us, how do we find that?
So actually, the Center for American Progress has a website, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to remember the URL right now, but it's something like, you know, fixovertime.org or something like that. And you can go on, you can not only calculate, you know, what extra amount of money you might see if you become newly covered by overtime requirements, but then you can also automatically leave a comment, you know, for or against, but I think they're obviously hoping that it'll be in favor of changing the rules. So that's a pretty easy way to get your voice heard if you're in favor of it.
There you go. And this is very important. Bryce, anything else that we should be looking at?
I just think that we're going to have to keep our eye on this. You know, I think a lot of economists are feeling that it was a really strong threshold update that the Obama administration released. You know, $50,000 a year and less, anyone making that would have to be covered by overtime, which is significantly higher than it is now, more than doubled. But again, we have to really be vigilant to see if it gets watered down or delayed. You know, this is a process, and business groups have a lot of money on their side.
Absolutely. And, you know, I got to say this, if you're interested in seeing a pay raise, get involved. It's easy. It's your right. Make a comment, you know. But, Bryce, how do we find out more about you and what you write?
You can go to thinkprogress.org, or you can follow me on Twitter. I'm Bryce Covert.
Thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate it, and we look forward to talking again soon, okay?
My pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.